Okay, talk to Gemara. This is, you know, dictatorship is, it just works because, like, there's no, like, well, it's just the way it is. So.
Not the Berenstein Bears right
now. No. Says the Gemara, Misharabu acharei bitzam. Is that what we're up to?
Yes.
Yeah. Misharabu, when there was an abundance of, quote, acharei bitzam libam halach, after their gains, or for their gains, their heart went, meaning people that are looking for their own selfish needs. Rabu ha'imrim, there was then an abundance of people who would say, l'ra toiv, v'la toiv ra. That which is good, that which is bad is good, that which is good is bad. And then, once there was an abundance of that, Rabu hoi hoi ba'olam. There was an abundance of woes that came to the world. And again, we were talking last night about these things that happened, or things that will happen. The Navi'im were being misnabe for then, but as we said, that loy efkoid, that nevuah that Yeshaya said, of loy efkoid, was it Yeshaya? That loy efkoid, I will not remember your Hishaya, sorry. That I will not remember your daughters with the Meisaita. That was something which Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai was darshaning. So I don't know if everything is happening then and only some later or not. Misharabu Moishche Haroik, when there was an abundance of people that would let their saliva sit in their mouth for a while so they could be able to spit it far, which is a sign of arrogance. Rabu Hayihirim, there was an abundance of people that were haughty and arrogant. And because of the arrogance, there were less Talmidim because they said, I don't have to review, I don't have to, stick around my Rebbeim for enough to learn from them. And again, as a result of that, the Torah itself had to seek out those to learn it, as opposed to us seeking out the Torah. Rabu hayihirim, and when there was an abundance of arrogant people, hischilu b'nais Yisrael, the b'nais Yisrael, the girls in Klal Yisrael began lihinasi layihirim to marry. They began to marry the haughty people, and they weren't turned off by the arrogance. She'ein dayreinu raya ela l'ponim, because our generation only sees the exterior. And therefore, they ended up marrying people who were arrogant, and then it was basically a spiral downward. To which the Gemara asks, Aini, is it so that an arrogant person will find favor in other people's eyes? V'ha'omar mar, but Mar said, Hai man demiyaher, this person who is haughty and arrogant, afilu a'inche beise, even on the people of his own home, loy mikabel, he is not accepted. They see right through him. So, Frakti Gemara, how could you say that these people are marrying arrogant people? All the girls are marrying arrogant people. Answers the Gemara, well, that Shanamar, it says in the Pasuk, Gever Yohir, a man will be arrogant, v'lo yinve. He will not have an abode. And the Vidarshan from there, lo yinve, what does that mean? Afilu banove shaloi. Even in his own home, he doesn't have sanctuary, so to speak. He doesn't have respect. He doesn't have a place to live. So, Frakti Gemara, we see from here that an arrogant person is, everyone sees right through him, even his own wife. And for the Gemara, Meikara, in the beginning, Kofza Alei. In the beginning, when they don't recognize that he's haughty, they just think he's actually a great guy. So they jump on him because he looks good. But then, Lasayv at the end, after they get married and she gets to know him and she sees that he's in fact arrogant, Mitzil Alayhu, they become disgusted by their arrogant husbands. And that's what the Pasuk is saying, Gever Yohir Vala Yinveh, that they don't even have a home to go to.
How do you translate
Mitzil? Mitzil is like a zeal, zeal, zealous. Zealous of the Beidina, which means disrespect. Lack of respect. Mitzel alayu, they become disrespected or not respected by their...
You were saying they were belittled?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that could be, yeah. They would be, it's like, I don't know the best word. Belittling, I feel like, is when it's undeserving somewhat. It's disregarded and like, yeah, yeah. Completely, yeah. What's the opposite of respect? Disrespect? No. The opposite of
disparage.
Yeah, something like that. The point is that they see them as a shallow nothing. Okay. This is where we got up to yesterday. Misharabu matile miloi al balibatim. Misharabu, when there was an abundance of dayonim. Matile means is a lotion of placing. Miloi is a lotion of a garment. Al balibatim. When there was an abundance of dayonim who would ask their balabatim, not their balabatim, but they would ask balabatim. You could just make a comment because it's hard to translate. When there was an abundance of dayonim who would ask balabatim to peddle their wares, meaning I'm a dayon, let's say. I have, you know, all these things to do. And I ask you for a favor to go sell it. So what am I doing now? I'm ingratiating. You're ingratiating, whatever. I am making it that I have hakar zatayv to you.
Are they asking for favors?
The dayan is asking for the balabatim, could you do me a favor and sell my stuff? Okay?
The dayan is like a side thing?
The dayan, how much are you going to pay for being a dayan? So they had this other business, but they would have these balabatim sell it for them. So if they weren't accepting a bribe outright, but when there was an abundance of this kind of dayanim being...
The dayan's got something to sell. He's got to... Hey, what's this guy himself?
Right, but now he's feeling...
Now he's going to have a bias.
He's partial to this guy.
He's partial. Right, that's right. That's exactly right. So Misharavu Matile... In other words... It's not a bribe.
Right. Doing him a favor.
It's not an outright. He's just doing a favor, right?
He has this, right.
Not just in business, though. He's just the balabas is doing me a favor and selling it on eBay for me. You know,
right.
I have these things to sell. Okay, so we sell it for you.
Can't even like words or a smile be considered a bribe?
Potentially. I don't know if you'll have to recuse yourself based on that. But this was like a loophole. A conflict, yes, exactly. But it's not a black and white conflict of interest. So says the Gemara, when there was an abundance of people doing this, and everyone was owing the Dayan was owing everyone a favor, Rabba HaShoychan V'Hatoyas HaMishpat. There was then an abundance of outright bribery and the perversion of justice, corrupted justice, because people saw that you could do a favor for the Dayan. And if you could do a favor for the dayan of just selling his goods online or whatever it is, all right, you know what? Forget the goods. Here's $100. Here's $1,000. And therefore, there was an abundance of shaykhan, more than 1,000. There was an abundance of shaykhan and v'hatoyas ha-mishpat and the tilting of justice. Upaska toiva, and as a result of that, there was goodness stopped coming to the world because, as we saw earlier, when there is corrupt justice, there is charoin af in the world. Okay. Misharabu, when there was an abundance of mikableni taivaska. Mikableni taivaska is a quotation that the dayan would say, I acknowledge that I got a favor from you. And the dayan would say, I acknowledge that I got something from you.
Kabul, you're good.
That's the phrase. Yeah. Umach zekeni taivaska. That's another quote, unquote. Machzikeni tevascha is, I owe you one. Right? Mekableni tevascha is, I received something from you. Umachzikeni tevascha, or I owe you one. So essentially what they've done is, they basically, again, this is like a bribery kind of thing. Rabu, there was an abundance of, quote, the pasuk which says, Ish hayosher be'in of yasa, man, that which is straight in his eyes, he'll do. Meaning, people disregarded dayanim. The dayan owes me one, so I can do whatever I want because the judge and the court is not going to be able to enforce anything. So when there was an abundance of the dayan owing everyone a favor, or having accepted a favor, rabu, there was an abundance of, quote, ish hayosha ve'enav yaseh. A man, that which is straight in his eyes, everyone can decide to do whatever they want because the courts can't enforce anything.
Can you read that again, Shafalim?
I didn't do that yet.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay, we're up to that right now. I'll read it right now. Shvalim hugbu, those who were lowly. Shafal means lowly. Shvalim, those who were lowly and shouldn't have been given the tremendous respect. Hugbu, they were elevated. Vahagvayim, and those who were elevated, dayonim, hushbalu, they were lowered. Meaning everyone's on the same playing field. No one sees a dayan as anything chashuv because everyone just, you know, whatever. They're all the same. Okay? Umalchusa and the kingdom of Klal Yisrael, the prestige of Klal Yisrael, Azla v'Navla was going, and Navla, we had this, anyone remember where we had this? Azla v'Navla? In Saita.
She became uglier.
She deteriorates. Her, right? She, about a woman who has a schus, that whole thing. So basically, the malchus of Klal Yisrael, the prestige of Klal Yisrael, is the Torah, and the Torah being upholding everything that was deteriorating because everything was going down. I'll tell you a story. My father got a call once from Howard Zvi Friedman. I don't know who Howard Zvi Friedman is. Huh? He was the head of the APAC for Tkufa. So he got a call. He said like this: there's a wealthy person in Klal Yisrael who's making a chasana the same night as your son, meaning my brother's chasana. Okay? And this wealthy person very much wants Rabbi Aaron Feldman, the Rashiva of Neri Yisrael, to come to the chasana, to this Gvir's child's chasana. Okay? Again, X asked Howard's feet to relay the following message. I, X, am making a wedding the same night as you, Rabbi Berkowitz, are making a wedding for your son. But I'd like Rabbi Aaron Feldman to come to my chasana. So, I will cover, if you allow, Rabbi Aaron Feldman, who's Rashi Neri Yisrael, and wasn't my brother's Rebbe, but he's, you know, he's Neri Yisrael. If you allow Rabbi Aaron Feldman to come to my child's chasana, I'll pay for the whole chasana, for your son's whole chasana.
You offered your father that.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go,
and my father said, Rabbi Aaron Feldman is welcome to go, no problem, but I don't want your money. And not only did he say that, I remember someone brought it up to him, I brought it up to him, and then someone years later brought it up to him, and he was so upset. You think you could just buy off? That's how you use your money? I mean, this person supports yeshivas and everything. It's a big bal tzedakah. But it was so like, again, I'm not accusing anyone of being ingratiated or feeling like they have to owe this person favors, but the way a person, a Rosh Yeshiva, has to be impartial, can't get swayed because someone's going to pay for your child's chasana, it's a lot of money, but it's not worth it. It's not as much as I was just like... That's Hashem, you should never come to that. But the point is that it's a mitzvah to be mahana Talmud Chacham, as we'll see in the Gemaras. But not in a conniving, or in a...
But that's part of their culture. It was something it was like it was just like.
A, I know. A, I know.
It's
I know.
Just, that's their culture.
Yeah. Rav Aaron Feldman went. Oh no. It wasn't my class. It was my brother's class. I don't remember. Anyways, Misharabu Sare Oyin. When there was an abundance of people that were stingy, selfish. Tzarei Oyin literally means like small eyes. They have narrow vision, tunnel vision. Only see themselves. V'tarfei teref. Tarfei teref literally means the people who... Teref, we had it like in by Yosef HaTzadik, it says it. Taroif teraf Yosef. That he was torn apart. So it was like thieves. They tear apart their goods, their spoils. Teref. The tarfei teref are people that tear the goods, so to speak. It means thieves, ganavim. Rabu, when there was an abundance of these people, rabu ma'amtze lev, there was an abundance of people who were stone-hearted, v'kaifze yadayim, and people who were tight-fisted, milahalvois, from lending. People were very concerned about their money.
That's why they strengthened their hearts.
Yeah, in other words, they were stone-hearted. It means to strengthen your heart, but that's the literal translation. They would make their hearts like stone, so not to give. V'kaifze yadayim, and they'd be tight-fisted, right? That's like a clenched fist. Milahalvois, from lending aniyim. Va'avru, and they violated thereby al mashakasa batera, that which it says in Torah, he shamar lecha pen, you should be careful about, the pasuk continues, but making sure not to be blind to the poor person's plight and to offer him some money to lend. The point is, again, that people were overly concerned about their money because people are stealing it or people are being selfish. Okay. Misha Rabu, when there was an abundance of Netuyais Garon, where do we say that language?
Let's stretch out next.
Yeah, but where do we say that in davening? Ubenetias Garon, we say it in Yom Kippur, right? Don't we? Yeah, in Alchet. Alchet Shechaton Levanecha. No? Okay, maybe not. Anyways, Misharab in the 2 years garden, when there was an abundance of people, of women, who would go out with their necks stretched out, umisakrois einoyim, and there was an abundance of winking women, rabu hamayim hamorim, really as a result of this, there should have been an abundance of usage of the Mesaita, because everyone is suspecting their wives that they're busy prancing around town with their arrogant ways and strutting around town getting attention, okay, and winking their eyes, so the husbands are going to suspect their wives. And really, there should have been more water from the Mesaita drunk and given. Ella, but there wasn't, because Shapasku, because they stopped giving them to drink. Therefore, It wasn't used. In other words, technically it should have been used more, but they stopped using it because there was such a proliferation of promiscuousness.
How do you
say proliferation? I mean, can we put that in context?
Yeah, am I not using it well?
It sounds like a completely decadent society, and it can't be that it was that bad. Can it?
First of all, it could, unfortunately. Especially, you have to remember, the Yetzirah for Arias was stronger then. Now again, how much do they take away? Maybe only between siblings, it says. But that may have lowered everything, number one. Number two, like we know that everything was different then, number two. And number three, I don't really have a number three. But I'll tell what I mean is like this. Today, you know, Rabbi Frank one time told, he was there was someone, a woman, who was, God, she like made a whole argument with Rabbi Frank about frum society. And basically, Rabbi Frank, at some point he said to her, he said, you know, where's your husband now? My husband's on a business trip. Wherever. And my friend said to her, let me ask you a question. When you go to sleep at night, are you concerned that maybe your husband is doing something he shouldn't? She said, yeah. My friend said, I go away all the time. I'm at weddings, I'm speaking engagements. My wife never has a hard time falling asleep. What are you shaking your head about?
No, I'm saying.
How true it is. It's pasha. So he was just saying, so again, to us, that's the standard, of course. Right now, unfortunately, sometimes things happen. Fine. That would be our standard, like Rabbi Fran was saying. it's possible that giving a kinoi didn't need to cross the threshold. Like in our minds, you only give a kinoi if it's like really suspect. Really, it could be that the kinoi happened, the threshold was much lower. We find that the Gemara says that everyone in Klal Yisrael, whatever this means, warned their wife not to seclude themselves with Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Chazal say. Rashi brings it down. Where does Rashi bring that in Chumash? That it says they all suspected Moshe. Because Moshe fell on his face, they all suspected him from Eishes Ish, that he was violation of Eishes Ish, and they warned their wives. Whatever that means. Okay, I can't start to... Moshe's... So it could be that giving to drink didn't. It wasn't like... I don't know. That's
Do we understand if it was an event that happened a lot? Like, do we have an understanding this was something that happened only once every 10 years, or is this?
How could it be? It's a video.
I can't imagine that it was so often.
Uh-huh.
How could it be? It's a video. But chachila, you're not supposed to warn your wife.
Is that so pashut?
No. What do you mean is it pashut? Yes, it's the first line of the entire Masechta. It's pashut.
Our Tana, the Tana of the Mishnah holds that way. Okay, good. All right.
Is there a machlokas?
Yeah, it's machlokas. Whether it's mutar lakanas or also lakanas.
Right.
Yeah.
So real quick, just we translate again, sakaro sinayim, how did you translate that?
They wink their eyes.
And what about the first part of the tzuyah garo?
The tzuyah garo means their necks are stretched out.
Their necks are stretched.
Yeah. Okay. Let's continue. Misha Rabu Mikabli Matonois, when there was an abundance of people who would accept gifts. Nismatu Hayomim, the days became shorter, people's lives were shorter, Niskatsu Hashanim, and the years became less. The Chsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Vesone Matonois Yechya. Those who hate gifts will live. That's what it says in Mishlei. Yeah.
Are we talking about bread now?
No, this is just in general. So I was talking about Takar Zatayi that Yusuf Yishul, Ashal Shudis. And afterwards, you remember what I said, Samra? I'm not going to test you. Afterwards, someone came over to me, Bachar. He had a question, and he said, talking about Takar Zatayi, and you have to. He said, but. It says Sayyid Matanis Yichya. In other words, I was saying over a whole idea that gifts are different than stucco because it builds a relationship. And that's why it's supposed to stucco. Stucco, you don't have to tell people, but a gift, the Gemara says, you have to inform the recipient has to know who he's getting it from. Why? Because of the relationship. And therefore, Yeruchim says, if I give you a gift, okay, and you don't you're not makir toiv, right? So then I gave it to you, al das, that there's a relationship built here. If you don't recognize that, so then you don't deserve the gift, it's stealing. Right? If someone gives me a watch, and I take it, and I don't recognize that they gave it to me. All right? Let's say I don't even know, or whatever, someone forgets to tell me. I don't deserve this watch because the person gave it to me because we have a relationship. And if I deny that gift, I'm kafui toiv, essentially, that relationship is not being built, and therefore I don't earn the watch. Therefore, says Rabbi Yerucham, we say in Davani, Shekein Chayvas Kol HaYetzurim. It's our obligation to thank and praise Hashem. It's our obligation? It's a good thing. Says Rabbi Yerucham, no. Because if we don't thank Hashem, then all the gifts that we haven't earned. So it's our obligation. Because we have, we can move our fingers, we could see, we could hear. That's a gift. We have to recognize that. And by recognizing it, we therefore earn it. So the kid said, what do you mean? It's a sign of Matanas Yechya. So the whole gift thing is not something that's... Whatever. It was an interesting question, but it's a very good question. But the bottom line is that we find the Gemara in Brachas says that there's two ways. Elio and Elisha had two different ways of dealing with people. Elio accepted gifts, I believe, if I'm not mixing it up, and Elisha didn't. Meaning, there's two midas. One is to take gifts, and to allow people to be mahana talmid chacham, and want us to say no gifts. Now, thank you, said Matan Tichya. I think Elisha used to travel around with his tent. No, it must have been Elio. Elio traveling around his tent. Hakaponim, that's the Gemara over here. Let's finish up. Misharabu zechuche halev. Then when there was an abundance of zechuche halev, people of haughty heart.
Of what heart?
Haughty heart. And because of their haughtiness, they said, I understand everything perfectly. And they weren't careful with what they heard from their rebbeim. So then, Rabu Machloikas be Yisrael, there was an abundance of Machloikas in Klal Yisrael, because no one was ascertaining that they actually got their information correctly, because they were just so arrogant. Yeah, I got it. I got the shir. I don't have to write notes. You know, I got everything. And Misharobu told me they Shammai v'Hillel, when there was an abundance of Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel, Shalai Shimshu, called Tzarkon, that were not Mishamai, that did not learn from their Rebbeim enough, Rabu Machlekes b'Yisrael, what was that? Called Tzarkon means all that was necessary, the requirement. Rabu Machlekes b'Yisrael, there was an abundance of Machlekes in Klal Yisrael, v'Nasis Torah k'shtei Torahs. The Torah became like two different Torahs. Because it was so extreme, the differences between what Shammai, these Talmidim of Shammai were paskening and the Talmidim of Hillel were paskening, because they didn't ensure that they got everything clear.
Shammai and Hillel themselves weren't so far apart. It was their Talmidim.
It seems like that's what it seems like. It's only because of the Talmidim.
But now we're talking about history. We're talking about a nevuah of something that happened.
No, this is just, we're just stating a fact.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. That's what happened. Yeah. Misharavu mekabli tztaka menaavdi kechavim, when there was an abundance of people that would accept tztaka from goyim, which is aser, hayu yisrael lemalo vehim lemato. The Gemara is now talking in a reverse. We're saying it. It's called sagi nahar, okay, like a euphemism kind of thing. That idea, it's the Gemara literally translated that Yisrael was above and the goyim were below. But really, it means Yisrael was below and the goyim were above. Yisrael lefanim v'heim la'achar. Yisrael were outside, in the back, and the goyim were in the front. You have to flip it.
What's going on here?
Yeah, can you repeat that, please?
I read it backwards. I mean, I didn't read it backwards. I translated it backwards, because that's what it's saying.
I might as well read it backwards.
Yeah, okay. When there was an abundance of yidden accepting charity from goyim, which is aser, hayu Yisrael lemala v'heim lamata. What does that mean?
Israel was above and the goyim were below.
But really what it means is that Yisrael was below and they were above.
Okay. What do you mean really it means? I don't understand.
It's a euphemism?
Yes. We don't want to explicitly say that about Klal Yisrael. It's like saying Son of Yisrael, exactly. Yisrael lefnim v'heim la'achar. And Yisrael is in front, is in the inside, so to speak, the better position, and they, the goyim, are in the back, meaning to say, again, the opposite. The yidden are in the back of the bus, and the goyim are in the front. Again, what it means essentially is that we're in a bad position. Again, it's not only because of the aveira of accepting tzedakah from them, but the bottom line is, we are demoralized, so to speak, and made lowly because we're dependent on them.
Yeah.